Good morning. Today's daf and bav mitzvah is Lamed Zayin. We're Lamed Vav Amud Beis. We are towards the top of the Amud. Shomer Shemassel Shomer. Here we are in the third parak of the Masechta, and we're going over some of the basics regarding Shmira. Okay, without no fancy introduction today, let's just get right back into our sugya. So we have Shomer Shemassel Shomer. So you have one Shomer given an item and then went ahead and handed it off to another Shomer. Now, if he did it without permission, so is that an act of negligence, yes or no? It's a machlokas. We saw the machlokas yesterday, introduced to it yesterday. Machlokas between Rav and Rav Yochanan. Rav says that the first shomer would be pater, and Rav Yochanan says that he would be chayev. Meaning that Rav Yochanan basically says that the act of handing over an item from one shomer to the other shomer, when not authorized to do so and not given permission to do so, is simply an act of negligence. Now, it goes without saying that according to Rav Yochanan, if the item safely gets back to its original owner, So then you're good and you're off the hook. But meanwhile, if anything were to happen to the item while in the care of the second shomer, so the first shomer at that point in time can claim no exemption and is going to be liable for any damages that occur, even if it's own anything. In other words, he was not authorized to go ahead and give it over to a second shomer, and therefore there'll be liability. Now, if you remember if you remember in yesterday's daf on Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, in terms of understanding Rav Yochanan, so the Gemara gave a svara on behalf of Rav Yochanan, and that is Amrle Ein Ritzoni Shei Pigdoni Biyad Acher. Right, that's the key line of yesterday's daf, and that is that Ein Ritzoni, I have no interest. It is I just simply don't want it in somebody else. Meaning I entrusted you, but in other words, you notice I didn't give it to him, and you gave it to him. Ein Ritzoni, it's just simply it's a violation of my will. That's what we saw in yesterday's daf. And then at the end of yesterday's daf, we went over Rava. Rava agreed with Rav Yochanan, but just to hear this out, didn't say the exact same thing as Rav Yochanan. Rava said that the halach is Shomer Shemassel Shomer is going to be chayev like Rav Yochanan. Very good. But right, just to hear where we ended off yesterday, what was the reason behind Rava? So again, I'm just reading the key line of the Gemara, which is where we ended off yesterday. At mehemently b'shua, Hech lo mehemen li b'shvua. Meaning, when I gave it over to you, and in the event that we'd had to go to court and you had to make a shvua, I trust you, and I trust your shvua. But now you hand it over to somebody else, and now something happened, and now he's going to have to make a shvua to me. I don't trust his shvua. Your shvua I trust, his shvua I don't trust. Now, as I pointed out yesterday, they sound similar to one another. In other words, halachically, they're in agreement with each other that Shomer Shemassel Shomer is going to be chayev. It just happens to be that the way they articulate it is not the same. It's subtly different. If you want to see more on that, in terms of the subtle differences between Rav and Rav Yochanan, you could see the second Tosfos on the Amud. We didn't go through it yesterday. And Nachamo, we're not going to go through it again today. But Tosfos points out that there are going to be differences in the subtleties of the way Rav and Rav Yochanan said it. All that is just a good way just to get grounded and oriented. Let's begin with today's daf, finish off yesterday's daf. Itmar. So we're on Lamed Vav Amud Beis, and we are about 10 lines from the top of the Amud at the two dots. So Pasha Bav Yatzis Lagam. So let's say that the Shomer was Poshea. Negligence. Negligence over here comes in the form of, I didn't close the door. In other words, I penned up the animals that was under my care. I am the Shomer, I'm the watchman, and I left the door open. And V'yatzis Lagam. And then what happened was is that the animal went out to the swamp, umesa kedarka, and the animal died, but the animal died a natural death. Okay, so Abai mishmei deraba amar chayev, Rava mishmei deraba amar pater. So the two talmidim Abai and Rava, both quoting the Rebbe Rabba with a hey. So one says chayev and the other says pater. How could Rabba say chayev? How could Rabba say pater? Meaning Rabba was one person, so he either said chayv or pater. So probably the correct explanation would be is that Rab himself changed his mind. In other words, when he was giving shiur on this topic, so sometimes he said chayv, sometimes he said pater. And and as far as the Talmidim are concerned, so in other words, whatever, maybe they miss shiur. However the machlokim manifested, but obviously Rab himself either held chayv or held pater, one or the other. So Abai Mishmei de Rab Amar Chai v'chol dayin adolo dayin ki I didn't love dayanu. Now, Abaye says, look, any dying doesn't follow that in such a situation, Bichayv is not a dying. Not worth his weight in Dayanus. In other words, you got to paskin this way that you're Chayv. And Lomi Abaye Lamanda Amar. Now we get to the crux of the issue, meaning we didn't really give any explanation. All we did is just simply lay out the facts. The fact is that according to Abaye, you were poshea by leaving the door open. The animal walked out. But then when the animal left and the animal's wandering around, the animal just simply dropped dead from natural causes. And according to Abaye, you're going to be chayev. You are a poshea, even though the actual death itself occurred by natural causes. So now we need explanation. We need svara. The Gemara here provides. So first of all, where do you stand on tchilasa b'pshiyav esofa ba'onis? Okay, esugyo, and it happens to be we're going to mirtz Hashem. We're going to do the sugya together here in Bav Metzia. It's coming up on Daf Mem Gimel. So a week from now, mark your calendars. So we're going to do tchilasa b'pshiyav esofa ba'onis, where what you did originally initially was an act of negligence, but then post negligence, something happened that was beyond your control. We'll go over the examples later when we get to the sugya. But meanwhile, where do you stand on that topic? So as we'll see, on Daf Mem Gimel, it's a machlokus whether or not you're chayv or you're pater. And so look, if I start off with the hanacha of tchilasa b'pshiyav esofa ba'onis, you're chayv. So over here, no brainer. This is textbook scenario of tchilasa b'pshiyav esofa ba'onis. You left the gate open. The animal walked out. That's negligence. And now when the animal left, so then the animal died from natural causes. Okay, so it's really a textbook scenario of tchilasa b'pshiyav v'sofa bonus. But Abaye says, but I'm not even done. In other words, I'm going to go a step further. I will make the argument that it's not even tchilasa b'pshiyav v'sofa bonus. I think it's tchilasa b'pshiyav. And so for Pshia, I think it's negligent throughout. Meaning, what was cause of death? So cause of death, you thought it was natural. Here's what I'll argue. In other words, you ever been to the Agam? Okay, the Everglades. So you've been to the Agam? So in other words, there's a lot of heaven over there, a tremendous atmosphere over there, and the animal died because of the atmosphere of the Agam. So in other words, it wasn't just that you left the door open and the animal walked out. That's negligence. The cause of death was a direct result of the negligence, meaning that the cause of death was not natural. It was because the animal now finds itself in the Agam, and the animal is there because of you. Okay, so in other words, it's all your fault. So I don't even think this is a case of tchilasa b'pshiyav v'sofa ba'onis. Okay, that's all according to Abaye. Now let's move over to Rava. Rava mishmei de Rava amar pater v'chol dayanu dolo dayan ki aydina lav dayanu hu lo mi baye. Look, Rav is going to argue that if I take the position tchilasa b'pshiyav esofa bonus, you're pater. So over here, this is, according to him, a textbook scenario of tchilasa b'pshiyav esofa bonus. Elafil laman d'amr chayev hacha pater maitama amrinan malach amavis mali hacha mali hasam. Okay, look, over here, the animal died from natural causes. And again, he's clearly not taking the position that the atmospheric pressure is cause of death. In other words, the animal just simply died. A natural death. So once the Malach HaMavis was interested in ending the animal's life, does it matter where the animal was? No, it doesn't matter. Yeah, I know you left the door open. I know the animal walked out. But the animal died from natural death, natural causes. That's the Malach HaMavis. The Malach HaMavis can travel. He has that ability. So over here, it is not pshia at all, okay, in terms of cause of death. Umoda Abaye, fine. So we have a standoff between Rav and Abaye. Oddly enough, they're both quoting Rava, but okay, we'll leave that alone. In terms of such a scenario, whether or not there's going to be chiyuv or ptur, liability exemption. Good. Moda Abaye, the I hadra lebe mara, umeta departa my time with the hadra. But like Lamamra Havla da Agma Katla. And so here Abaye says to Rabbah, I'll give you the following, and I'll admit in this case that I'm gonna agree with you. You left the door open, the animal walked out, animal came back into the pen, and then it died. Okay, so here I'll agree with you that you're Pater. Umode Rava Kohecha de Ignava Ba'agam Omeisa Kadarka Be'agan of Dechayev. And Rava says, Rabbi, okay, here's why I'm going to agree with you. And that is that the animal's out in the Agam, the animal's out in the swamp, and the animal was then picked up by Ganavim out in the swamp, and then the animal died by the Ganav. So then, my time up. So I'm going to tell you that you're chayev. And why are you going to be chayev? Yishavka malachamav is beveisa deganva havakaima. Because even had the malachamav not killed the animal, I mean, the malachamav did, but even had he not killed the animal, where is the animal right now? By the ganav. And that's a result of your negligence. So here, in such a situation, I would agree with you. Okay, so. Amalei Abay LeRavli Didchad Amart Malchamavas Malei Hacham Malei Hasam Haide Usvei. Okay, so we're at a standoff between Abay and Rava. We have a basic machlokas between the two Amarayim. Fine. There are going to be points of agreement between the two of them. That's also good. Now Abay turns to Rava and says to Rava as follows. According to you. Meaning, remember, you, Rava, made the following argument. Malchamavas is interested in taking your life. He'll find you. Okay? And not just you, but the animal as well. So, l'ditcha damart ma'ala chamavas ma'ali hachamali hasam haide usve Rabbi Abba barmama le Rabbi Ami v'shani le b'shnas lo balam v'shus l'hashem. So, you recall our Mishnah? Okay. Our Mishnah is an example of shomer shemasa l'shomer. Now, shomer shemasa l'shomer, so our Mishnah said that it's okay. I'm simplifying, but our Mishnah said it was okay. Now you, Rav Yochanan, said it's not okay. You said you, Rav Yochanan, said it's your proshea. So we asked that question, and remember the answer that we gave. The answer that we gave was b'shenas no rishus. In other words, yeah. But our Mishnah is talking about a case where it was not unauthorized; it was authorized. Okay. So b'shenas lo balam rishus lahashal. So v'leim alei. So now, let's think about what you just taught us. Malchamavis comes, malihacha malihasam. So malchamavis malihacha malihasam. So the Gemara says, okay. So now, once it's authorized and you handed it over, and now the animal died, and then we're talking about liability. Why in the world are we talking about liability? Meaning, who cares which shomer it's by? Malihacha malihasam. If the animal died from natural causes, that's a malchamavis issue. Malchamavis has travel capabilities. So what's the big deal? Meaning, why should there be any liability? And meanwhile, go back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that there is, in fact, going to be liability. So Amar Leila Ditchu Demasnisa In Rotzeni Shiyeh Pikdon Biyaracher Ika Leusve Lahi. So now the Gemara says, well, I hear you, but at the same time, here's where I'm not gonna concede the point. Meaning, Shomer Shemasa L'Shomer, according to Rav Yochanan, no good. But why? So remember, I right at the beginning of today's shiur, so I went over the two svaras behind the why not shomer shemasa l'shomer, you're going to be chayiv. It's either ein ritzoni, in other words, that was a violation of my will, or the alternative svara is your shvua I trust, his shvua I don't trust. So if we're working with the ein ritzoni shiyeh b'don b'yad acher ikalus ve'lahi, so in other words, fine. So if it's ein ritzoni, if the whole issue is that wasn't my ratzon, and meanwhile, if I authorized it, so that then it's within my ratzon, so then, you know what? Your question is great. However, lidi di de amina, ant mehemen li b'shvua, ve'echla mehemen li b'shvua, but Rava says, but I'd like to remind you, I don't say that svara. I said a different svara. My svara is, your shvua, I'm ready to hear. His shvua, I'm not ready to hear. So, leka l'us v'klal. So if that's true, meaning if that's the svar that you're working with, so then we're going to be fine. Meaning now I will have an understanding of our Mishnah. Meaning in our Mishnah, even though I said to you, go ahead, you can give it to somebody else, but that doesn't mean now that I'm ready to go hear a shvua from that individual. Meaning I will give you permission to hand it off to somebody else. But in terms of liability, so in other words, with you, I'll exempt you because I'm ready to hear your shvua. The person that you give it to, I'm not ready to hear a shvua. And so therefore, that won't be an exemption from liability. Okay, good. Where are we right now? So we are having two discussions in our Gemara. Number one, Shomer Shemasa L'Shomer. So again, according to Rav Yochanan, according to Rava. So according to Rav Yochanan, according to Rava, Shomer Shomos, Shomer Tzchayev, but with the subtlety in terms of why that should be. According to Rav Yochanan, it's in Ritzoni. According to Rava, it's I trust your Shvua, I don't trust his Shvua. And as we just pointed out, there's going to be a difference between the two. Good. That's one topic that we're in the middle of discussing. The other topic that we're discussing is that you were a poshea, but then an ones occurs later. Otherwise known as chilasa b'pshia v'sofa ba'ones. And so we're giving a case over here that seems to be a textbook scenario. I left the fence open, the animal walked out, and then after the animal walked out, the animal died from natural death. That's chilasa b'pshia v'sofa ba'ones. And a machlokes between Abai and Rava in terms of whether or not the shomer is going to be liable or not going to be liable. Abai says liability, chiyuv, and Rava says p'tur. And the basis behind Rava is because if the animal dies from natural death, so then that's a malcham avis and malihacha malihasa. Okay. And I just recapped everything and I recognize that that's a lot. That's already a lot to just hold in your head. We're juggling a lot right now. Meisiv Rabbi Chama. Okay, so we're going to finish off yesterday's daf, finish off this topic with the following, and that is a Mishnah. This Mishnah is coming up later in the Masechta. Much later in the Masechta, Tzadi Gimel. This is 93 here in Bab Metzia. And Halal Rosh Tzukim. And so what we're describing over here is a shepherd. And the shepherd is watching a flock. And what does he do? He takes them up the mountain. But this is Tzukim. It's a steep mountain with a lot of sharp edges on the side. And Venafla. And the animal now falls. Einza Ones Vechayev. So you cannot make the argument that this is a case of ones, and therefore, and because it's not ones, you're going to be chayef. Okay, now, ha meisa kedarka reza ones upater. Okay, now, if the animal falls and dies, so that is not ones. You took the animal up there, so the animal falling and dying, so that's a function of you. That's your negligence. Okay, pshia. Good. Now, what if you took the animal up to the top of the mountain and the animal died at the top of the mountain? So you're putter. In other words, that's a simple diuk in the Mishnah on Sadi Gimel. Good? Now, Mesa Kedarka Hari Zeonos Putter Ve'amai Avir Le Malay Avir Dahar Katla Inami Utsvina Dahar Katla. Now, Rami Barchama is basically turning to Abaye and he's saying to Abaye, I don't understand. According to you, once the animal now moves to a place that has a different atmosphere, the Agam had a different atmosphere. What about the top of the mountain? Different atmosphere. And so can't you say now that that was cause of death? How about this? By you schlepping the animal up to the top, so that also is exhausting. That also is, you should be responsible for that as well. Meaning according to you, Abaye, once you bring the animal to a compromised place with a new atmosphere and a different atmosphere, and the animal dies, so you, Abaye, said in the case, in our discussion, you're going to be chayev. What about that mission over there in Tzadi Gimel? So, hachabai maskin and hela lemira shamein vitov. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you know what we're describing over here? We're describing where you brought up to the mountain. You know why you brought up to the mountain? Because there's unbelievable pasture over there. It's shamein, it's fat. In other words, it's very good pasture. So yachli enough lanami, shayilo tokfa velo tokfa. So the Gemara says, okay, but then explain this to me. The animal falls, the animal dies. So you're going to, the Mishnah says you're going to be chayev. Why? In other words, you brought the animal up to the top of the mountain because that's where the pasture is. The animal falls and dies. Okay, that should be ones. So the Gemara says, no, it's not ones because knowing now that you're at the top of the mountain, so you got to be holding on to the animals. You're tokef the animals. And you didn't hold on to the animals, so that's why it's not considered ones. So, yachim ha-resha, alta la-roshi tukim enafla ha-reze ones. So, ibayla mitkafa. So the Gemara says, okay. But there's another part of that Mishnah coming up, and that is that if the animal goes up to the top of the mountain on its own, you were the shomer. The animal, you didn't bring the animal up to the top of the mountain. It went up on its own. And then it falls and then it dies. The Mishnah says that's ones. Well, wait one second. If you're telling me that you have an ability of control, that if you brought the animal up to the top of the mountain and the animal falls and dies, that's you. Why? Because you should have held on to the animal. Once we're arguing you should have held on to the animal, so then the animal goes up on its own, Why don't we make the same argument? You should have held on. You should have held on to the animal. So Lotzricha should talk for Valta. So the Gemara says, no, as far as the ratio is concerned, the ratio the Mishnah is talking about where the animal took you up the mountain, meaning you went up with the animal to the top of the mountain, but not because you wanted to go to the top of the mountain, it's because the animal wanted to go to the top of the mountain. In other words, the animal was stronger than you. That's the ukimta in the Mishnah. And so therefore, the animal brought you up to the top of the mountain, right? You see, right? It's a great sight. You know, when somebody has a really big dog and the person walking it is not big, so then it's... The dog is now walking the person. So so over here the animal's strong. The animal's so strong it walked the shepherd up to the top. Right, the shepherd was holding on for dear life, but the animal was just simply too strong. That's a scenario in which the Mishnah is describing where if the animal then were to fall, then you would be putter. That would be a case of onus. Okay, Adkan, that takes us really to the end of yesterday's daf. We're on the very bottom of Lamed Vav Amid Beis. So having now finished the discussion of Shomer Shemasa L'Shomer, and having touched the topic of Tchilasa B'Pshia V'Sofa B'Ones, we move forward. We move forward, but by moving forward, I really mean we move backwards. and we go back to our Mishnah, right? And we're finishing up the Mishnah. So Reb Yossi. So in the Mishnah, Reb Yossi took the following position. Okay, so recall, the Mishnah goes back to Lamed Hayamid Beis, right? Socher par mechaver v'shil alacher. So you rented an animal, and afterwards you lent the animal out. Good. And then what happens is that the animal dies. Mesa kedarka. The animal dies, but the animal dies a natural death. In other words, ones. And ones occurs. Now remember, for the first shomer, so he's a shomer chinam, shomer socher, it doesn't really matter. He's putter by ones. And then when he subs it out to the shoel, the shoel is going to be chayev by ones. Great. And the shoel is going to pay whom? So in the Mishnah, it's a machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rav Yossi. So according to the Tanakhama, the shoel pays the socher. Right. Because the socher himself would be free of liability, and the shoel would be liable. So the shoel pays the socher. That's the Tanakhama of the Mishnah. And Rav Yossi says, you have to be kidding me. Kate said, I'm just rereading Rav Yossi's line of the Mishnah. Kate said, Hala osis chora b'parasu shechaveiro. Ela tachzer para labalim. No. The renter is not the owner. And the renter is going to profit and gain? That's ridiculous. Rav Yossi says, is that what's going to happen is that the money's going to go back to the original owner. It's not going to go to the socher. Good. That's the sheet of Rav Yossi. As I pointed out when we did the Mishnah, it's easier to hear. It's a little more intuitive. Okay, happens to be that halacha is going to follow Rav Yossi. How do I know that? Our Gemara. I'm Rav Yossi. Kate said halos is chor beparasa v'chulei. I'm Rav Yehuda. I'm a Shmuel halacha. Rav Yossi. That's the halacha. So I'm Le Shmuel Bar Yehuda. Le Rav Yehuda. I'm Arla Mishmei De Shmuel. Halacha Yer Rav Yossi. Af Berishona. Now, the halacha falls like Rav Yossi and our Mishnah and Lamed Hay. Great. Good. Established. Now let's go back to Lamed Gimel, the beginning of the third parak of Bava Metzia. And what was that first case over there where you were a shomer, the animal was stolen from you, you then paid the owner, you didn't have to, but you paid the owner, and now you're going to be the recipient of kefel. Good. That was the first sugya of the third parak. Kinyan ha-kefel. So now... here we are. That was 33. That was Lamed Gimel. And we're in Lamed Zayin. So we're 4 days later. And now what we're going to do is we're going to revisit that Mishnah. And we're going to add the following. Do you know that Rav Yossi not only is a bar plucked on the Mishnah Lamed Hay, Rav Yossi also is a bar plucked on the Mishnah Lamed Gimel, which means to say that Rav Yossi will tell you, Kefal is not going to go to the Shomer. Meaning Rav Yossi over here is going to have a consistent position of don't award the shomer, meaning the shomer is not going to be receiving any benefits, any additional benefits, right? In other words, if he lends it out afterwards, and now there will be liability. That liability is not going to be enjoyed by the shomer. Rather, it goes back to the original owner. And Rav Yossi will tell you the same thing is true regarding kefil. Kefil shouldn't be appreciated by the shomer. but rather Kefa is going to go back to the original owner. Okay, and mind you, by the way, this is the first time we're hearing this. Meaning when we went through the entire sugya from Lamed Gimel, Lamed Daled, a little bit of Lamed Hay. So in other words, we thought you're Kona Kefa. The Shamar just simply acquires Kefa. No one argues with that. No one argued with that until our Gemara right here. Okay, so Rav Yossi argues with it. And again, as I just pointed out, there's a consistent theme in Rav Yossi, and that is, don't award the Shomer. So af Perishana. So halachik gamoso and halachik gamoso. Okay, good. So now that Rav Yossi argues on the first Mishnah, so now it stands to ask, do we follow like Rav Yossi? So amalei halukaya Rav Yossi af Perishana, halachik gamoso af Perishana. And he says, yep, we fall like Rav Yossi, even on the first Mishnah. It my name am Rav Elazar Chalukah Yer Rav Yossi Aparishona Valacha Kamoso Af Berishona. So and not only that, but Rav Elazar feels the same way as well. That Rav Yossi argues on the first Mishnah, and that's the halacha. Rav Yochanan Amar Modal Yer Rav Yossi Berishona Shekvar Shilaim. So so Rav Yochanan says, no, I don't agree. In other words, you're going too far, says Rav Yochanan. Rav Yossi argues on our Mishnah, the Lamed Hey Mishnah. Rav Yossi does not argue on the Lamed Gimel Mishnah. And for a really good reason. The Shomer paid. It's different in the first Mishnah. In the first Mishnah, the Shomer paid when he didn't have to pay. And now because he paid, so he acquired. He acquired the Kefal. It's not the same. So the Gemara just gets caught up on that language, that he paid. Remember what we pointed out over there in that first sugya? He doesn't have. He just has to commit to pay. Shilem in lo shilem lo baham Rabbi Chia Baraba Amar Rav Yochanan lo shilem shilem mamish ala kevish Amar harini mishalim alfa pish lo shilem. So ema moda hayu Rabbi Yosi Berishona shekvar Amar harini mishalim. Okay, don't get caught up in the language. You don't need actual payment. You just simply need a commitment to pay. But that doesn't change my viewpoint, says Rav Yochanan. My viewpoint is that he paid. He committed to pay either one of them. The point is that. He does not. He, the Shomer, will receive the Kefal, and it's not different. And it's not the same as the Mishnah on Lamed Hay, on Lamed Gimel, because you paid or you committed to pay. It becomes yours, and you acquired Kefal. It's different. Okay. So for a moment of time, and not just a moment, by the way, Amoraim really are of the position that the halachas like Rav Yossi, not only in our Mishnah on the Lamed Hay Mishnah, but even on the Lamed Gimel Mishnah. But Rav Yochanan says no. Rav Yochanan says that we fall like Rav Yossi on the Lamed Hey Mishnah, but not on the Lamed Gimel Mishnah. Okay. Amar L'Shnayim. We're in Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. We are at the Mishnah. The Mishnah. The only Mishnah on Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. Okay. Amar L'Shnayim Gazalti Lecha Mikem Mana Ve'eni Yodea Meizeh Mikem Oav Yishalcha Mikem Ifkid Li Mana Ve'eni Yodea Eizehu Nosan Lezemana V'lezemana Shahoda Mipi Atzmo. Okay. So a person now wants to do tshuva. What happens? He stole. It happens to be that he's not sure who the victim is. Right? I know how much I stole. And I went into the apartment. And I went into someone's wallet. But now, as I'm trying to retrace my steps and trying to rethink who did I steal from? So whatever. Okay. It was a dark time in my life. And I don't remember all the details. But I want to do tshuva. Okay, great. So I'm kind of giving away the Gemara, by the way. The Gemara is going to make this point even clearer. But I want to do tshuva. Oh, yeah, good, good. You want to do tshuva? Here's how you do tshuva. And that is that there are two possible people that you stole from. You're not sure which one of them is. So give him a mana and give him a mana. And that's how you're going to do tshuva. Shnaim shif kidu eitzel echad zeman of zema sayem. And now the Mishnah continues with the following. And that is that you are now a bank, not an actual bank. In other words, this is a private bank. It's so private that you're just one person. But in other words, but you accepted deposits. One person deposited by you 100, the other one deposited 200. Now, hopefully this Mishnah should sound familiar. We have cited this Mishnah numerous times. We quoted this Mishnah in Baba Kama a couple times, and here we are again, actually learning the Mishnah inside. And that is that two people deposited, one 100, the other 200. Zemar shalimasayim, v'zemar shalimasayim. Nosen lezemana v'lezemana v'hashar yeimuna chashiyavo Eliyahu. So, now my two depositors come over to me, and each one of them claiming that they are the ones who deposited the 200. Now, I'm only holding 300 I only have $300. So what am I going to do? In other words, if I want to satisfy each one of their claims, so I'd have to pay $400. I don't have $400. I only have $300. And one of them only deposited me by $100, but I don't know which one. So here's what I'll do, and that is that I will give each one of them $100. What about that third $100? What I'll do with that is I'll just simply, we'll leave that in escrow until Eliyahu comes. I'm Rav Yossi, imkein mahifsid ramai. And Rav Yossi says, no. Look, one of them deposited $200, the other $100. They both come in and they're both now making a claim for $200. One of them is looking to beat the system. He's a ramai. He's a charlatan. And now what you're going to do is that you're going to reward him. And by rewarding him, what do I mean? Meaning that he deposited $100, you're going to give him $100. But meanwhile, he's trying to cheat the system. He's trying to get that second $100. So, and all you're going to do is just give him $100. He deposited $100, he got back $100. And there's no incentive not to lie. Other than, of course, you want to be a good person and you want to do the right thing. But in this particular case, though you're not helping the situation. Allah, according to Rav Yossi, hakol yemunach hashiyavo aliyahu. So Rav Yossi says, here's what you're going to do, and that is that all $300, you're just going to keep it in escrow. In other words, and hopefully what that will do is that will apply a little bit of pressure now to the Ramai, where the Ramai now is not even walking away with his $100, and hopefully what it'll do is it'll just simply admit, what's it called? My bad. I'm only owed $100.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why isn't the person who's holding on to this not considered pusher because he didn't keep track of who gave him what?
Good question. Please hold that question. We will address that a little bit later. V'chein shnei kelim echad yafe menu v'echad yafe alav zuz. Ze omer yafe shali. And the mission over here is going to do the exact same thing, but instead of money, so we're depositing over here kelim. One is valued at 1,000, the other is valued at 100. Each one now is coming back claiming that they're the ones who left 1,000. The $1,000 kli. So no sin is a katan lachan mehem, when we talk a gadol, no sin to make katan l'sheni, v'ashar yemuna chachiyav aliyahu. And so over here in terms of how to resolve this conflict resolution, so the Tanakhama will do the same thing. But of course this is not money, and so it's going to get a little bit trickier, but it's effectively the same thing. Give the kli katan to one of them, and the other one, give them the value of the kli katan from the kli gadol. You'll sell the kli gadol, and then it's $1,000, so you'll sell it. And 100 you'll give to the other person. The other 900, keep an escrow until we figure out what actually happened.
What's the disparity with a keli? Hundreds of thousands versus.
I hear your question. I don't have a prepared answer. I'm Rav Yossi. Imke ma'isid ramai ela kol yemuna chashiyav aliyahu. And so Rav Yossi will tell you no. The same position, and that is. Is that, look, in other words, one of them is trying to trick you and deceive you, and you're doing nothing to stop him from doing so. Let's put a little pressure. How are we going to put pressure? We'll give nothing back to nobody. Okay, good. That pressure. Good. Okay, so go back to our first case in the Mishnah, and that is I'm a Gazlan. And I stole from one of two possible people. I don't know which one. And I want to now do the right thing. Oh, you want to do the right thing? Great. And that is that you're going to pay each one of them a mana. Okay? So, and here's what we're not saying, says the Gemara. And that is that we have this idea of chazaka. Who's holding the money right now? The ganav is holding the money right now. And who's towing the money? Two people who are demanding the money.
There's no tiger in the
mission. You're correct. And what you're saying is effectively going to be the answer. But I'm just setting up the question. But you are correct. So v'lo armin anuke mamona becheskas mari uriminhu, and the Gemara says, and let me ask the following question: Shneim shifkidu etzal echad zemana v'zemasayim zeh omer shlima sayim v'zeh omer shlima sayim nosin lezemana v'lezemana v'ashar yemuna chashiyav aliyahu. So and meanwhile, what about the case of the bikadon? In the case of the bikadon, so in other words, that third 100 where I don't know who it belongs to. You give it to neither of them, and you hold on to it. So the Gemara says, Amalei Pikadon Gezel Karamis. So Gezel Davidi Sura Kansur Rabbanan. Pikadon Lo Avidi Sura Lo Kansur Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, well, right now at this stage, you're not asking a good question. Meaning, in the case of a Gazlan, so he's a Gazlan. So in other words, so he's going to be paying more out of pocket? Okay, good. In other words, he did an Isser. So let him pay more out of pocket. A Pikadon, on the other hand, you're a Shomer, right? So, and now we don't know where that third 100 goes to? Okay, yeah, hey, Munach, leave that in Esco. Don't ask a question from Gzela to Pikadon. That's not a fair comparison. So, Virami mi Pikadon, Pikadon, Virami Gezel, Gezel. The Gemara says, okay, that's not a fair comparison. But here comes the fair comparison, and that is the following. Pikadon, Pikadon, the Tani Reisha, oh, so good. So first of all, just to chazar our Mishnah, right? Two people deposited by me. I don't know which one. So and now what I'll do is I'll give one of them 100. I'll give the other one of them 100. And the third 100, which both of them are demanding, we'll put in escrow. Yehimuna chachiyavo aliyahu. Ureminu shnaim shihif kidu. So the... Shnaim shehiv kidu. I'm sorry. In the beginning of the Mishnah, so you have to give both of them a mana, and then shnaim shehiv kidu, and then we quote the case of shnaim shehiv kidu. That's with the third 100, where the third 100 I don't give to either one of them. So Amar Rava. Reisha nasa kemishiv kido lo b'shnei krichos to have a lay lemedak. Seifa nasa kemishiv kido lo b'krach echad to lo have a lay lemedak. So kigon de afkiru tarvayu b'hade adad b'chadzim. De afkidu tarvayu b'hade adad b'chadzimna. De amaluhu antku faychu lo kaptitu adadi ana kaptina. And so Ben, this effectively answers your question. And that is the following. And that is that, look, if I was accepting two deposits from two people at two separate times. So now that is on me. It is now becomes my responsibility to identify which one deposited which by me and how much by me. And now I fail to record properly. So that is what's called, the Gemara describes as shtei krichos. And now that is my negligence and I have to pay for it. On the other hand, if they're coming together and they deposited to me collectively, just happens to be that one deposited 100 and the other deposited 200, but they came at the same time and they made the deposits at the same time. They didn't care that in other words, and they didn't make it clear that those were two separate deposits. If they didn't make it clear and it wasn't their concern, it doesn't have to become a me problem. Okay. And that's the difference between the cases. And that answers your question. Okay, fine. So by Pikadon, it's very simple. The rule is really simple. And that is that if you're watching two different people and they're coming at two different times, so you are now tasked with the responsibility of knowing which one of them deposited which by you. And if you lose record and they're both now coming and claiming, so now you have to pay both of them. Good. That resolves the Pikadon issue. Now we're going to move over to Gzela. Rami gezel gezel ketani acham alashem gezel telecha mikem manavini yodei ezem mikem. Oh, aviv shalcha mikem ifkid li manavini yodei ezem ezen osin lezeman of lezemana. Okay, so by the case of gzela, so I want to do the right thing. I got to give each one of them a mana. Uriminu, and meanwhile, the Mishnah in Yevamos gezel acham mechamisha vini yodei ezem mehem gezel ze amar osi gezel ve ze amar osi gezel. And meanwhile, the Mishnah in Yevamos, which again, we've gone over this Mishnah numerous times, aside from Yevamos. In Baba Kama, we cover this Mishnah a couple of times. And here we are in Bava Metzia, and we're covering the Mishnah again. And that is that five people make a claim for me that I owe this money that I stole. It's 100. Five people are now claiming that they are the victim. Great. I'm going to take the 100, I'm going to put it down, I'm going to walk away, and gentlemen, you figure it out. Work it out amongst yourselves. So obviously, that is different than our discussion over here. Why? Why is it different? So now, the Gemara just quickly touches on the fact that you notice that Mishnah Yevamos, it says that's the opinion of Rabbi Tarfon. Now, umi mai de mesnis and dacha Rabbi Tarfon he good. The Mishnah Yevamos is Rabbi Tarfon. That doesn't have to mean that our Mishnah is Rabbi Tarfon. So the Gemara says no. Dekana alid Allah dahim od Rabbi Tarfon be shomer l'shnayim. I'm sorry. Moda Rabbi Tarfon be omer l'shnayim gezat alecha mikem ana ve'ni yodeh eizem mikem nosan lezeman of lezemana. So, in other words, no. We know that Rabbi Tarfon agrees with our Mishnah. We know that. Okay, so, don't try to suggest that. Different Tanaim, different positions. No, don't say that. So, ha'asam dekatavai lei, ha'cha be'balit alatzei sidei shemayim. So, the Gemara says the answer, and that is that the fundamental difference between the two Mishnahs is the following, and that is, the Mishnah and Yevamos, they are making a claim against him. Okay, now, granted, by the way, he's a thief, but they're making a claim against him, and he's like, okay, just, I just want to walk, I want to get out of Beis Din. What do I need to do? What's the basic minimum thing I need to do? Just give up the 100 that I stole? Fine. Let them figure out who the actual victim is? Okay. That's the Mishnah Yevamos. Our Mishnah over here, the Gazan wants to do Tshuva Gemura. He's really interested in 120 years, he's gonna have the meeting, and he wants this to be clear. Oh, okay, fine. You want to clear your record? Here's now what you're gonna need to do. You stole. You don't know who the victim was. You'll give him 100. Give him 100. So the difference between the Mishnayos is the Mishnah Yevamos. Just tell me what the basic minimum I need to do is. Fine. Our Mishnah here in Bav Metzia, he wants to really come clean. Amar mar hasam de katavele hala matoin. So the Gemara says, okay, they made a tefillah against him. What was his response? So Rav Yehuda amar Rav Halashosek. So according to Rav Yehuda, according Rav, his response was shtika, and he's not responding. And Rav Masna amar Rav Halatzoveach, and Rav Masna says he's soveach. Second time in today's daf where I have Amoraim quoting the Rebbe, one and the same Rebbe, and their positions are going in two different directions. Okay, second time in today's daf. We had it earlier this morning with Abai and Rava, by Rabba, and we're having it now for a second time today. Okay. So anyway, so man damar Halatzoveach aval shtika koda. If you're tzoveach, if you're screaming and protesting, that's not what happened. So that means to say that had you been silent, shtika koda, so that the silence would be an admission. Man damar halashosek shtika da'acha lav kodahi. Matzi amalei hay d'shtika l'chol chavacha d'amina d'omahayu. And over here, the counter argument to that is that, look, of course, shtika kahuda. Normally, silence is admission. Yeah, of course. But over here, it's not the case. Why? Because, again, he stole from one of five possible candidates. Each one of them now is making a claim against him. And his silence is just simply confusion. Right? I stole from, who did I steal from? Could it be you? Could it be you? It's just simple confusion. Amar Mar. Minich zel. That happens to be. We're going to get there as well. Very good. So Amar Mar Minich Zela B'nei Mamasak V'Shakalei Kula V'Azlei. So V'Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda Amar Rav Kol Safiki Nuach Lechatchil Lo Yitol V'Im Natal Lo Yachzir. So the Gemara says, so now let me get this straight. So in the case of Rabbi Tarfon, you have a Safik of who you stole from. So and you have multiple people making tainas against you. So what you do is you leave the gzela there and let them figure it out. The Gemara says, yeah, but what? Huh? What? That's not the way we resolved it. Not by the case of Safik Hinuach. Safik Hinuach we did in the second parak here in Bab Metzia. And that was, is that with an item without a simon is clearly placed in a designed area, don't take it. The owner left it there. And if you take it, all you're going to do now is make problems. So an item left in the designed area, so leave it there. Now, if you went ahead and you took it, imnatal, lo yachzer. So now you can't return it because it doesn't have a simon. No one can claim it. And so what you're going to do is that now, even though that wasn't the ideal move on your part, you shouldn't have taken it to begin with. But now that you have it in your hand, now don't return it because you don't know who to return it to. And even though somebody comes and says, hey, it's mine. So in other words, do you have a simon? No, we don't. So you're going to hold on to it. So if I have something which belongs to somebody, but there's no way for him to identify that he's the owner, don't give it to that individual. How is this case any different? In other words, I have five people claiming that they're the victim. So now what do? I leave the money. I leave the money in front of them and let them work it out? No. In other words, I don't get to keep the money. But in other words, but we don't know who the rightful owner is. So I'm Rav Safra Yaniach. So Rav Safra says, okay. So in other words, you misunderstood. We don't mean that we're going to leave the money in front of them and let them figure it out. No. What we mean to say is that you, the ganav, don't get to keep the money, but because there are multiple claimants on that money, so we're just simply going to hold the money in escrow, and until we know with any kind of clear clarity who it belongs to, that's it. Amalei Abai LeRava Miyama Rabbi Akiva Lozu HaDerech Motzi Midei Avera Ashi Yisham Gzela Chol Echad Amal Mitzveka Mafkina Mamona V'Lomrin and Uke Mamona Becheskas Mare. So the Gemara says that now comes out that according if you want to satisfy your chova latzai sidei shemaim, you're going to be paying every one of them. Urim minhu. The Gemara says, okay, and on that consider the following. Nafal b'aisalav alimo yorshe haben omrim ha'em meis rishon v'yorshe ha'em omrim ha'ben meis rishon elu ve'elu. Modim Shiachloku. Okay, so write the Mishnah in Baba Basra. So So the Mishnah in Baba Basra. The Mishnah over there describes the house that collapsed. Two people died there, the mother and the son. We don't know which one died first. And I know the Mishnah sounds like each of the family members is making a claim. That's not a real claim. In other words, everyone's saying is that here's a real possibility. And each one of them is going to claim or at least open the possibility that it's their relative that died not first, but rather second. So in other words, because if it's a mother-son, so if the mother died first, so that means that her Yerusha went to her son. And now whoever stands to inherit the son now is making a claim. And the members of the family of the mother will go in the other direction. No. First the son died, then the mother died. So that means that the estate of the mother is still by the mother. And so they, who are going to be inheriting the mother, so they that's their claim. So what do we do? So, over there, Yachloku. V'amar Rabbi Kiva modani bezusha nechas mecheskas son. So Rabbi Kiva says that, you know what I think? What I think is that the nechasim should remain in status quo position. Okay. Now, what we're not going to do this morning, we're out of time. But still, even if we had time, we're still not going to do it. And that is, what exactly is status quo position? We're going to get to Baba Basra, Mirtz Hashem. We're going to get to Baba Basra together, and we will discuss exactly what status quo position is. Anyway, for our purposes right now, and all we need to observe is that we're not going to go ahead and award everybody. So Amrlei Hasam Shema V'Shema. So Gezel Echa Mechamisha Bari V'Shema. So the Gemara says, Rav Chaim, this is the point that you made earlier, and now the Gemara says it, and that is that, look, in the case of the collapsed house, and we don't know order of death, so Shema V'Shema, neither family members know what happened. All they're doing is suggesting this is what could have happened. So that would be a case of Shema V'Shema, and that's why over there, we're going to go ahead and start allocating the money. Over here, Bari V'Shema. So each one of them making a claim. Now, of course, each one of their claims can't be right, but at least in terms of the weight of the claim, so this is going to be a case of Bari V'Shema. So V'Hama Sisim Da'acham L'Shem Gazal T'Lecha Mikem Manav D'Shem V'Shem Hu and Ketani Nosan L'Zem Manav L'Zem Manav. So the Gemara says, okay, but what about our Mishnah now? In our Mishnah, I have the Gazan stepping forward, and he's now saying, I stole from one of two people, I don't know who. And what did our Mishnah teach us? Give each one of them a mana. So, mimai de Rabbi Akiva he, And again, just jumping over another hurdle, meaning how do I know that our Mishnah is like Rabbi Akiva? Diktani, Allah da'i. Mode Rabbi Tafram, Ba'am al-Shaim, Gazat al-Echam, Mekem, Man, Ve'ini Yodeh, Zemikem, Ve'chule, Laman Mode, Rabbi Akiva, Bar Plukte. So in other words, Rabbi Tafram is being Mode. Who's he being Mode to? Rabbi Akiva. Meaning, our Mishnah is also going like Rabbi Akiva. Umimai Deshema Veshema, who, Chada, Midalo Ketani, Tovin Oso. Now, our Mishnah over here is a case of Shema Veshema, yes. Because the victims themselves are not making, are not putting in a claim. And not only that, but the Brisa gives us more information, which is the victims themselves don't know. Meaning the Gazlan says, I stole from one of you. And let's hear from them. And the Brisa, Rabbi Chia, says, yeah, we are hearing from them. They don't know. So ha'u kimnala bebalat says yedei shamayim. So the Gemara says, yeah, I know. But again, a reminder, a quick reminder. And that is that if there are multiple victims, possible victims, so now what we're going to do is that we'll drop the money and we'll run. But only because in that case over there, the Mishnah Yavamos, you want to just do the basic minimum. You don't want to clear your scorecard with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Our Mishnah over here is Ba'alat Seisi De Shamayim. You want the record clean. You want to see a Kadosh Baruch Hu with a good conscience and a clean record. And so over here, Bebalat says Yidei Shemaim, you stole from one of two possible people, but you don't know, and they themselves don't know, but you know you stole. So now that's why our Mishnah says Manalazeva Manalazev. Amalei Revin LeRav Ashi Omi Amar Rava Kol B'Shei Krichos Havala LeMeidak. Okay, and now just finishing up today's daf.
Why not?
Finishing up today's daf. So so what do we say? That if you are a bank, a private bank, and people deposited two separate deposits, that's on you to know who gave you. So v'hamar Rav Yitema Rav Papa Hakol Modim Mishnayim Shifkidol Etzel Roeh Sheminich Roeh Beinem Umstalek with a shepherd and people coming dropping off the sheep by the shepherd, and so now we have claims regarding which sheep it was or how many sheep it was. So the shepherd just simply says, okay, look, all right, these are all the sheep. I'll leave them here. You guys figure it out. So Amalei Hasam, Kishi Hifkido Be'edro Shoro Shalomidato. So the Gemara says, yeah, what the people did is they dropped off the sheep Shalomidato. In other words, they just simply dropped it off, didn't go over to the shepherd, didn't tell them that they were dropping it off. In other words, there was no responsibility on the part of the shepherd to know who dropped off how many. In other words, it was Shlomidata. It was done without his consent, without his knowledge. Okay. And so that's why in that particular case, the shepherd is going to be relieved from any liability. But obviously, if you go over to the shepherd and you say, here's my animal, I'm leaving it by you, right? And with intent, obviously now it becomes the shepherd's responsibility to go and return that animal to you. Okay? In other words, that would be similar to multiple deposits by multiple people on different occasions, and obviously then he would be responsible. Okay. Let's pause over here. It's a little bit more till we get to the Mishnah, but we're post time.